Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn, also with me on this edition of the program, board member for Generations. Welcome, Steve.
Hey, thank you. It's always good to be pretty much anywhere. Always enjoy doing this with you, though.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're coming out of Resurrection Day 2024, and the big controversy this year was that Joe Biden evidently wanted to blend Christ's resurrection with transgenderism. Serious backlash over the White House proclaiming Transgender Day of Visibility on Easter Sunday. Mike Johnson called it abhorrent. Donald Trump said just another example of the Biden administration's years-long assault on the Christian faith. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem posted, Joe Biden and his White House have made it clear that people of faith have no place in America. And Franklin Graham, the evangelist, said this once again shows how little respect President Biden and his administration have for God. So the president of the United States, bringing syncretism into the Christian faith, he considers himself to be a man of sincere faith, and yet embracing child sacrifice as well as now syncretizing the transgenderism of the goddess Ishtar. By the way, transgenderism goes all the way back to ancient Mesopotamia and the perverted forms of sexuality that were introduced into the temples in roughly 2100 BC. We're getting that out into preparing the world for Jesus. But that transgenderism vision actually goes all the way back to 2100 BC and pagan religions. But there is something of a syncretism happening here. Ironically, coming together on the Resurrection Day, the day at which many Christian churches celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's, you know, seen as something of an offense to Franklin Graham, Mike Johnson, and so many others who are believers. And my guess is that the President of the United States was not considering that this was Resurrection Day, and probably forgot all about it, and then signed this declaration of Transgender Visibility Day for Resurrection Day 2024.
That's entirely possible, but nobody even in the media decided that they wanted to take issue with that. And so they, you know, all the mainstream media also put forward this whole Transgender Visibility Day. And
Really?
So it was all over the news. Mm-hmm. So even if Biden made a mistake and the administration made a mistake, they were all reporting on this. And there was a bus crash, I guess, in Australia or somewhere, and it said that 45 quote unquote Easter worshipers were killed. They couldn't even say the word Christian in the entire article, except for the fact that they were going to such and such Christian church. But they were Easter worshipers.
Right.
They weren't Christians who mm-hmm. died.
Right. It was a Botswana bus that crashed in South
yeah,
Africa.
Yeah, that's what it was. South
yeah,
Africa.
We covered that on the Worldview. Right. The media is far, far less likely to acknowledge the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this being a Christian holiday, and they're referring, of course, to the day Easter. And I want to throw out another question. Given that the President of the United States is pushing for pagan syncretism, child sacrifice, transgenderism, etc., and joining it together with the Christian faith, or what he considers to be his own Christian faith, I would throw out another question, and that is, do we really want to blend Christ's resurrection with the German god Easter? The White House banned religious Easter eggs, but, you know, do recall that the Easter egg has really nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's something of an identification of Easter eggs with the German Easter god, it seems, or would the White House ban that as well? You know, again, there's something of identification with the fertility goddess, the Easter fertility goddess, connecting life and fertility with springtime. The word Easter comes from not necessarily Ishtar. Some believe it's Ishtar, but it seems that it comes more from the German goddess Istor, who is the bringer of light. In 8th century England, the month of April was called Easter Monath, the month of Istor. Thus, the Easter bunny appears to be something of a testament to the ancient custom of honoring fertility through the goddess Astor. Now, I'm actually against the word using the word Easter. I don't think there's any need to use it. I think we ought to use the word resurrection. It's Resurrection Day. This traditional blend of Christianity and paganism has been disastrous to the faith. So I think the better thing to say is Happy Resurrection Day. And hopefully we can celebrate that every Sunday. Of course, the concern is that people don't celebrate every Sunday. Increasingly, what you're seeing is Christian churches celebrating or coming together, convocating on a Saturday so that they can take all of Sunday off. And there is very little in terms of convocation or a recognition or a remembrance of Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week. And that really should go all the way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 1, where God's people come together on the first day of the week for a convocation to bring their tithes and offerings together. That's, of course, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. And many other references, of course, to the gathering on the first day of the week in early church history. So, you know, we do this for the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We open up our services on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, with the words, Christ is risen, and then everybody responds, He is risen indeed.
He is risen indeed, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just hard for me to disassociate my mind from rabbits and fertility. You know, I don't know what it is. It's just really hard to disassociate those things. Have you ever had a rabbit or ever watched rabbits? Okay, that's my point. So I'm not sure that the White House banning religious Easter egg is going to do immeasurable damage to the faith, as some of our evangelical friends might suggest. But Joe Biden has done damage to the faith in 1,000 different ways. That I don't think we need to go over on this edition of the program. But I guess my concern is let's not syncretize the faith with the Easter goddess, and let's not syncretize the faith with transgenderism. I mean, either way, let's watch out for syncretism. Syncretism seems to be the thing that is so common with the President of the United States these days.
I was at the grocery store, and one of the lady who was checking me out said Happy Easter to me, and I said, my response was, He is risen, and her response was, and the Lord is coming again, and I said, Yes, He is, and she goes, Not soon enough. And so it was, I mean, it was kind of a neat conversation to end up with that. And she said, God bless you at the end, and sounded like she did acknowledge that Jesus has risen and that He's coming again. So that was, when I said He is risen, she acknowledged it. That was great.
That's encouraging, and to bring it back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is really helpful. And if you do your shopping at Safeway, any sense that there may be, now, this is the grocery store locally, any sense there may be some connection to the resurrection of Jesus Christ is, I would say, entirely missing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, you might find 3 Hallmark cards, maybe, that refer to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but it's all bunnies and eggs and fertility. But here's the other thing. I think what's happening with the United States government is that increasingly, the United States government has established itself as a pagan religion, and they celebrate transgenderism and homosexuality and human autonomy, sexual autonomy, more than they have ever done in the history of the United States, and perhaps in the history of any country in the history of the world. The Biden White House has celebrated at least 7 other holidays celebrating, commemorating LGBT issues, National Coming Out Day in October, Lesbian Day of Visibility in April, International Day Against Homophobia, Transphobia, Biphobia, Pride Month in June, Spirit Day in October. My understanding is there are 3 months of the year dedicated to homosexuality now. So, wow. You know, I think we are offering our proper prostrations to the gods of the marketplace. In this case, it happens to be the gods of transgenderism. And so the president has made no qualms about it, that he's in support of the religion called homosexuality. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. Stay with us. Hello, my friends. For the last 15 years, the Generations team has produced a Christian curriculum specifically for families who want to give their children a God-centered, Bible-saturated, biblical worldview-based education. Our commitment is to restore the Christian faith, generational faith, in an age where we are losing faith in this country and almost anywhere around the world, where Christian children attend secular schools or use secular curriculum and imbibe secular culture. Now, we're not relying on the pre-Christian Greeks for an educational model here. We're not relying on the post-Christian secularists for the education model either. Our curriculum is based in a biblical worldview. We put hundreds of Bible verses in the history books and integrate the truths into the subjects. We want to glorify God on every page of the science books. We immediately integrate knowledge into life application and natural revelation with special revelation. We keep Christ at the very center of the history books with preparing the world for Jesus and taking the world for Jesus. I believe God is calling this generation in this highly secularized age to a radical change in how they disciple their children. Please check out our program for education of your children and grandchildren at www.generations.org. And we are back on Generations. Kevin Swanson with you as well, Steve Vaughn. And Steve, taking a look at the President of the United States' religious background for just a moment, it turns out the Archbishop governing the Catholic diocese surrounding Washington, D.C., has been interviewed by one of the news outlets, and he called the President of the United States a cafeteria Catholic. And this is a quote from the Archbishop from Washington, D.C. Like a number of Catholics, the President picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts, the cardinal said. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic, in which you choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging. Gregory said, I would say there are things, especially in terms of life issues, there are things that he chooses to ignore. The issue of life beginning at the very beginning, and they conclude at natural death, and you can't pick and choose. You're either one who respects life in all of these dimensions, or you have to step aside and say, I'm not pro-life. And I think the bottom line here is that the President of the United States has turned away from the Christian faith. It's not just that he's a cafeteria Catholic. He is an ex-Christian. He is a Christian apostate. He has left the Christian faith. And I think we have to be very plain about things like this. First and foremost, an apostate does not believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and has rejected the doctrine of salvation by grace alone. As a Catholic, he believes that his acceptance with God depends on his merits. And by the way, precious little merit he's racking up, killing all those kids out there. That blood guiltiness on his hands is extraordinary. Not that, you know, he's the only sinner that's deserving of hell fire, but he certainly is not going to work his way to heaven. He's not going to merit heaven. I mean, that's for sure. Now, that applies to all of us, right? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are saved not by works. We are regenerated not by works. We are justified not by works, but by God's grace. And that's something not taught by the Catholic Church. And as long as he believes that his works are going to get him to heaven, that's a problem.
Yes, it is, because it is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, just as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, that we are saved by grace, not by works, lest anyone should boast. And he writes that all over the place, even in Romans. It's to the man who doesn't work that it is afforded to him by grace. That is where our salvation is in Christ alone, by faith alone, and grace alone. So that is... That's biblical. And if you're trying to work it, it's not going to happen.
Well, another dimension of this that I think we need to bring in is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It speaks of that person who turns away from the faith. It's referred to as a man of sin, or the Antichrist in the Bible, defined as somebody who rejects God's law, the man of lawlessness. And this is certainly what happens to America. This is what has happened to our country and to our leaders. They've turned into men of lawlessness, or antinomians. Joe Biden is an antinomian. I think if you ask Joe Biden, do you submit yourself to the law of God as given to us in the Old and New Testaments, especially as referring to sexual sin, homosexuality, et cetera, I think he would simply say, no, of course I'm not going to submit myself to that. I make up my own law as I go. And this is really what's discussed in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is out of his way. Then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. The coming of the lawless is by the activity of Satan with all the power and false signs and wonders and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In this case, the other issue tying into this apostasy that is prophesied here, whether you know came to pass at one time in human history or multiple times in human history, I think what we have to say is that that this begins with an antinomian. The Greek word is antinomi, which is to be against the law, and so that this person is against the law and wants to set himself in the position of God and establish law for himself. And that pretty much encapsulates modern humanism. This is what man does in the modern age. He puts himself in the place of God and determines his own sexual autonomy, his own sexual ethics as he goes. And I think Joe Biden would say, sure, I'm that guy. And I don't think he would deny that one little bit. By the way, here's a quote from the president concerning his faith. It's very difficult to find something that sort of brings together the faith of Joe Biden, but here's something that he did say at one point in an interview. Here is the quote. Everything Jesus did was sort of consistent with what generically we're supposed to do. Okay, let me say that one more time. Everything Jesus did was sort of consistent with what generically we're supposed to do. Now, if that doesn't encapsulate most beautifully the average liberal perspective of Jesus, I don't know what does. That's that, you know, lukewarm, nothing burger kind of Christian faith. Evidently, you know, Jesus wants us to be polite to folks and, you know, generally try to be kind and sort of be like Jesus, who wasn't really the standard of holiness, but sort of a good guy most of the time. Well, at least some of the time. That's what he's telling us here. And I think most Democrats and many, many Republicans share the same extremely watered down view of Jesus and his teachings. Again, no specificity here at all. Rudyard Kipling's comment comes back to me again. Think about, you know, what he said in that poem, The Gods of the Kuiper Book Headings, when he referred to those who started by loving their neighbor and ended by loving his wife. You know, the idea that in general, we're supposed to be sort of nice, sort of kind, sort of loving, sort of like Jesus, kind of sort of like the way he was supposed to be. But, you know, we start out by loving our neighbor, but end up by loving his wife, which means we're not going to define the love of neighbor, the love of God by keeping the commandments of God. But rather, you know, we'll break all the laws with impunity and claim that we're loving each other in the process. That's the American form of Christianity. And that's almost precisely the way that Joe Biden put it in the interview. Again, let me quote the president of the United States one more time. Everything Jesus did was sort of consistent with what generically we're supposed to do.
Yeah, there was a Senator Warnock, I think is his last name. He's actually a pastor, but he is on the Democrat left, and he was talking about this Transgender Visibility Day and how, you know, it is Christian to affirm these people, to agree with them. You know, we need to be kind to them. We need to, you know, help them out and those not change, not call sin a sin. He was saying this is the most Christian thing we can do is to affirm and recognize and all of the things that you just said, to do kind of sort of the things that, you know, Jesus, we think as a good teacher and as a good person, he would have been kind to them as well and not condemn them for their sin.
And of course, what Jesus said to the sinner woman is, neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more. So Jesus, out of his mercy, forgives us and then enables us to go forth and submit ourselves then to the laws that, you know, we broke. And he came to save us from our sins. And that is to forgive us, yes, absolutely. And then to enable us to walk in holiness before him, to rise up and walk in newness of life. So that is the salvation of Jesus. That's what he came to do. But in terms of the abandonment of God's law, and of course this comes together with the abandonment of the gospel, and I think both happen simultaneously for the average American who believe, number one, they're good enough for heaven. Number two, they depreciate the laws of God, and that's the first thing they want to do. Is bring the standard of God's law down, bring the bar down so they can make it. Matthew 5:17, Jesus affirmed the laws of God. He says, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota or a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And throughout his ministry, Jesus just upped the ante on Old Testament law. He said, "You've heard it said of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be liable to the judgment. I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to the judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says you fool will be liable to the hell fire." And then again, in verse 27, the same passage, "You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away." And of course, in Matthew 15, Jesus is condemning the Pharisees for displacing the law of God, especially that referring to the honor of mothers and fathers with the traditions of men. So you have all these instances where Jesus is bringing out the laws of God and pointing out the fact the Pharisees did not meet it. In fact, were coming up with excuses to work around, kind of workarounds, the laws of God, which is precisely what liberals do. Liberals are like the modern Pharisees. They're constantly trying to make workarounds for the laws of God. But the bottom line here, I think you have to understand, if you're saved by works, what do you have to do, Steve? If you're going to save by works, you're going to have to reduce the standard so you can get by.
Oh, yeah.
You follow me? You got to bring the bar down. Because, you know, if you're going to be saved by works and you know you're a dirty, rotten sinner, you're just going to have to bring that bar way, 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 way down. You know, help one little lady across the street every, you know, 3 or 4 years, and that'll be good to go. And then, you know, go out and commit adultery, homosexuality, incest, you know, rob banks and do everything that liberals do, redistribute wealth, you know, break God's law at every single point, but at least you help the little lady across the street every 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. So typically a salvation by works theology always results in Pharisaism and a replacement of God's law with the human traditions. A salvation by works theology is always attended by an antinomianism, a lowering of the bar of God's law, just so that about anybody can make it, at least so you can make it, I guess is the idea there. So that's the way the American apostasy works. I mean, I think that's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
That's it.
They set the bar at themselves. And that's the bar is me. And that way I always make it.
Yeah, I'll make it to heaven because I passed my own standard.
That's right.
And that's pretty much the way it works out. And that's why, of course, the President of the United States is going to reduce the standard of God's law to, well, just about anything that works for himself. And I'm not saying he's the only guy that's doing this. This is a pretty much a standard. Everything Jesus did was just sort of consistent with what generically we were supposed to do, I think. Okay, so that's the new standard, at least according to the liberal agenda. But no, God holds us to a higher standard. That is his law. But praise be to God, he also forgives us of our sins and then cleanses us from all unrighteousness and saves us from those sins and then enables us to go forth and sin no more. So we receive that admonition one more time from the lips of Jesus. "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Those are the words that we take from Jesus Christ in his word. And that is the hopeful word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No need to bring the standard down. Why? Because his grace not only forgives us of our sins, but also cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, you've been listening to the Generations Radio broadcast. I encourage you to my little book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality and Family. It's a helpful resource. And also recommend the Bible study guides, Matthew and John. So some of my favorite Bible study guides from J.C. Ryle. Been reading those recently to my family, and I'd recommend them to you as well. Just get your family through the Gospels over and over again. We have the Matthew Bible Study Guide and the John Bible Study Guide available at generations.org. And by the way, I've timed these things. It doesn't take longer than about 5 to 10 minutes to work through each one, each little Bible study, each and every day. Just do it consistently, and you'll make it through in about 2 to 3 months. But yeah, check out the Bible Study Guides for families at our website, generations.org. Those are the Family Bible Study Guides. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.